About Ahavat Hashem, loving God. It's esoteric. How do you love God? So he says three things. Clinging to God. Number two is very important. Happiness. Joy. Joy. The person who loves God will be happy. And number three is being zealous for Hashem. Pinchas. We're going to talk about them. So last week we started talking about Dveikut, which is that a person's heart should cling to God. In other words, a person should always think of Hashem. Think of Hashem, think of Hashem, think of Hashem. Ad shekvar yasur melefnot lashkia hashum davar zulato. Until he forgets about everything else. This is so hard, because then what are you going to do? How are you going to do your taxes? But he clings to Hashem till he nothing else in his head. And that's what Shlomo Melech says. Ayelet ahaviv v'yalat chen. He loves God and he has no time for anything else. Which is very strange because he had 1,000 wives. And I don't know when he... Some people say he wrote Shir Hashirim when he was an old man. There's a whole discussion. And Bava Batra. Bava Batra discussed the source of who wrote what. Amru alav Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat sheyoshev ozeh b'torah bashuk ha'tachton shel tzipori. Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat, the Gemara says, was sitting and learning Torah in the marketplace, at the bottom of the marketplace. So he didn't care about all his wares. His merchandise was in the shuk above, and he was down below learning Torah all day. So that's what it means. Not only just thinking about Hashem, but also learning Torah is also middabek bekono. He's clinging to God's mind. The Torah is God's mind. And the whole idea is the person should cling to God every second and every hour. At least, now we come to the clutch. This is what we can do. At least in times where we're trying to serve God, which is when we pray. At least when a person's praying, halavai, our minds will be fixed with God. Halavai, when a person's saying, Shemona Esrei, the minds don't wander. Our minds, it's very hard to tie down the mind. Hardest thing to tie down the mind. Put the mind in a cage. Keep the mind focused. So the mind's like a TV, channels flipping all the time. Just flipping, flipping, flipping all the time. We're flipping channels in our head. When I used to get scared when I was a little kid, I remember this. It was a technique someone taught me. Flip your channel. Turn the channel. You're going to have a nightmare, flip the channel. Flip to a different channel. And our minds are flipping all the time. It's very hard to control the mind. That's why meditation, focusing. Focusing the mind is meditation, basically. That's what kavanah is. Rav Arya Kaplan writes in Jewish meditation, he said the word for kavanah is really meditation. That's Jewish meditation. And the Shulchan Aruch says you need kavanah when you pray. It's talking about meditation. Kivun is direction. Giving a kivun to the mind, which is the hardest thing to do. Hardest thing to do. Focus the mind. One of the hardest things to do. So at least, if we can't cling to God every second of the day, we have to do other things, we've got to work. You know, driving a car, I can cling to God, but I cling to God when I drive the most. Because I'm praying all the time. Right, so clinging to God, the person's going to cling to Hashem all the time. Thank you, thank you. Ya'avdu chamim. So how do we cling to God? And the answer is at least when we're trying to serve God, at least cling to Him. When we're trying to do a mitzvah, we cling to God. He's saying a bracha. What's a bracha? Baruch atah Hashem. Cling to Hashem. Say the Hashem. You kiss the mezuzah. That's the whole idea, kissing the mezuzah. To be aware, no, kissing the mezuzah. But Rambam says when you pass the mezuzah, you have to have an interaction with God's name in the mezuzah. Not just kiss the mezuzah goodbye. That's America. Hi dear, bye dear. Kiss, that's it. Yeah, that's when people kiss their wives. Hi and bye. It's either hi and bye, but that's what you do in the mezuzah. Hi and bye. No, it's an interaction with Hashem. Hashem's name is in the mezuzah. That's why the Shulchan Aruch says you should see the shin dalet yud of the mezuzah. It should be clear. You should even cut the. It's funny, we cut the parchment, so the shin dalet yud is exposed. Because it's rolled over the shin dalet yud. You got to cut that exposure. Show the shin dalet yud, and it's going to put it in a glass container unless there's other things going on around. You can't put. So you send the shin dalet yud. So that's why the plastic mezuzah have a shin outside, just to remind a person the shin dalet yud inside the mezuzah. But the person forgets. What is the special mezuzah? The answer is Hashem's name. You're having interaction with Hashem. The dabek by Hashem. You're meant to cling to Hashem. It's good to put one's hand in the mezuzah. My father, Allah Shalom, he was an orphan at the age of 7. And kids, they want candies, they want things from their mother. He went to his mother, Ma, give me candies. She said, I don't have any candies. But Pray to Hashem. Put your hand on the mezuzah and pray to Hashem, and Hashem will give you. He's your Father in heaven, He'll give you. Which I think is a very, very important lesson for all of us. Who's our Father in heaven? Person's in trouble. Who do you turn to? Who do you turn to? You get the best lawyers, best doctors, best this, and who do you turn to? Hashem, that's it. There's only one address. It's easier than an email. You don't have to send an email, you don't have to call, nothing. Just talk to Hashem, clear. So it's good to put one's hand on the mezuzah, because you're resting your hand on a holy object. Where do we learn that from? Avraham Avinu. He made Eliezer swear, Simnat yadcha tachat al yerechi, under my thigh. Why? Rashi says it was the holiest object he had. Hard for us to think about today. We think it's the most unholy object. No, it's the most holiest object a man has is a Brit Milah. Think about that. The holiest object we have. Hard to think of that today. Today we're sick. Today's sick, perverted world. The holiest object a person has is his Brit Milah. Boy, that was in those days. Avraham Avinu. So we learn over there, holding a holy object has an effect on a person. In fact, the kings of England, they make people, again, swear fealty by doing the same thing. They didn't know why. They copied it from the Torah. So we hold and hold the object and pray. You hold the mezuzah, the person should pray. Every time they leave the house, it's good to pray. If you go on a journey, please Hashem, guard me. Right? So a person also, if they need something, pray. So my father would pray, please Hashem, give me a house full of candies. A little kid, house full of cakes and candy. That's what he wants. So eventually what happened was, he grew up, and it's true enough, he owned a restaurant, candies and cakes. He said, you know, I wish I prayed for something better. Hashem gave him whatever he wanted. That's what he had prayed for. So the first good people, number one is, when you pray, ask for something. David HaMelech says, Harchepiha, Harchepiha v'amalehu. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it, Hashem says. Don't ask for small things. If you're praying, ask for big things. Make it big. Hashem does not. Hayad Hashem tiksar. Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm going to feed all these people with meat for a whole month. Moshe Rabbeinu says, 1 second, there's a lot of people. Where are you going to get so much food from? Hayad Hashem tiksar. What? Hashem's hand is small. Pray big. When you pray big. So at least when a person's praying, they should be clinging to Hashem. Yerushalmi. Look at this, the case it brings. We did this last week. Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa, he was amazing. Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa was such a big tzaddik, and he lived in poverty. Gemara says, not everyone gets two tables. Not everyone is zochet to have a table in this world and a table in the next world. Some people are poor in this world, but very rich in the next world. Some are very rich in this world, and then very poor in the next world. But we want to have both. We want to have two tables, all of us. All of us want two tables. We want to be wealthy in this world, we want to be wealthy in the next world. Rabbi Huda Nasi was both. Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa was zochet to one table in his next world. But yet when he prayed with dvekut. He prayed to the point where if a snake bit him, he didn't feel it. He didn't feel anything around him. Now some people like that when they're praying, and that's a true prayer. You can not feel anything. That's the highest level. The highest level of tefillah is you're there and you're completely ignorant of what's going around. That's true. That's the dvekut. Why? Because he's clinging to Hashem, and at that time, nothing else exists. Nothing else exists at that point. That's a very high level. Nothing else exists. And a snake came, and it bit him, and he didn't feel it. He didn't stop. And they found the snake afterwards dead. So the snake bit him, and the snake died. That's Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa. Don't try this. Don't try this. Halakha is, if a poisonous snake comes and you're praying, you know, you can run. You can run. You can kill it or you can run. Because it's called Pikuah Nefesh, push aside everything. But he didn't know. He didn't feel it. He didn't pay attention. The student said, Rabbi, Lo Yigashta, did you feel it? Amar lahem yavu alai mitoch shehaya libi mechavim betefilah. It came to me when I was praying and my heart was busy in my prayers. I didn't feel anything. I didn't notice. That's hard. It's hard. It's hard to get to the highest level, this high level of meditation. So that's the veikut. Veikut is clinging to God, la'avad Hashem Elokecha, uldovka bo, and cling to Him. And Devarim Yud. And again, Devarim Yud Gimel, it says, bo tidbak, you will cling to Him. Or bo tidbakun, you will cling to Him. We're going to see, the Gemara says, how do you cling to someone? How do you cling to Hashem? By clinging to those who walk in His ways. Cling to the Talmid Chacham. marry your daughter after a Talmid, marry the daughter of a Talmid Chacham. That's how you cling to God. You cling to God by clinging to those who cling to God. Get as close as you can by clinging. You do business with a Talmid Chacham, clinging to God. So you cling to God's representatives. It's like you live in Israel and you want to get an American passport. Where do you go? The embassy. Who's God's embassy in the world? People who cling to God in this world. So you go to the embassy. You want to go close to God? You go to God's embassy. You go to the ambassador. Who's God's ambassador? Holy person. Try and find a holy person. So there are a few holy people in the world. Everyone knows. And there's lines outside their doors. Boy, there's lines from morning to evening. You can't even get to see them. It's so hard.
Like the embassy.
Huh? Like the embassy. Yeah, right. The embassy. I went there once. Horrible. You're lining up. You can line up for hours to get a passport. Or get seen by someone. Tel Aviv embassy. It's better than Jerusalem embassy because they're all run by Arabs. The Jerusalem embassy. Oh, yeah, they drive you mad. Every year, the new president says, I'm going to move the embassy to Jerusalem. Liar, cheat. No one did it. Everyone promised. Bush promised. Obama promised. They all promised. Clinton promised. Everyone promised. They have a consul in Jerusalem. It was all for Arabs. It's not run for Jews. Jews go to Tel Aviv. What do you do? Like, look at you, like, what are you doing here? What do you mean? I'm American. What do you want? Mom, this is for Arabs. They don't say it. They don't have to say it. But that's the understood. They all. I try to get my daughter a job in the American embassy, the consul in Jerusalem. They're advertising. They advertise on the Israeli papers. We're looking for people to run it. Forget it. Only Arabs have got it. Chutzpah. We have to tell our congressman this chutzpah. Okay. Slightly off topic. We have to go to the embassy and cling to God through the God's embassy in the world. So here we are. This is the God's embassy in the world. We are inside the embassy of God in the world. We want to cling to God. You come here. Yud Kei Vav Kei right there. And cling to Hashem. So at least when we're praying, if we can't do it every time, we can't do it all day long. And the Torah says many times, cling to God. So that's part of love. How do you love someone? You cling to them. We talked about last week, children can't leave their parents. What's it called?
Separation anxiety.
Can't leave Hashem. Amar Yesh Lakish, b'shalosh shenot shel chibba chibbe b'kadosh baruch hu et Yisrael. Hashem loves us with these three languages. Number one, bedvika, with clinging. Number two, with hashika, which is cheshek, which is desire. But chavitza, also. Chavitza is a kind of desire as well. There's a girl's name called Hefsiba. She was the wife of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. What happens to be my son's wife? Hefsiba, my desire is in her. Wow, what a beautiful name for a girl, right? Hefsiba, my desire is in her. The wife of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. She was the daughter of Yeshayahu HaNavi. Hefsiba, beautiful. So it's one of the languages God uses for His desire for us. His love for us. And these are all three are branches of Ava. So clinging, cheshek, which is the kind of desire, and chetziba, and desire, chavitza. All these are parts of love. You like someone, you want to be around them. You don't like them, you don't be around them. Very simple. You want to be around them. You like them more, you want to be even closer to them. You don't be across the table, you want to be next door.
So what's the difference between cheshek and chetzi?
Cheshek is more lust. Kind of. It's much stronger. Vainu atshuka shezacharti v'adveikut v'anachat v'onek hanimsa v'esek inyano shel aneva. And to be busy with doing someone you love, you're helping them. The person's happy helping people they love. So if they love someone, let's say you go. Your father says, "Go to the market and buy me something." I love my father, so I'll go with joy. Happy to go. Daddy, anything you say, I'm happy to do it for you. That's the highest level of Kibud Avem. How many children are happy to do it? Halavai, we get to that level of being happy when our parents need something, we're happy to do it. Happy to do it. And that's Simcha. That's the next level. Simcha. If you love someone, you're happy to do their work. And that's Simcha to do a mitzvah. Who is the person we said before? Who is the person who's the most happiest person in the world? Yitzchak, that was his name. We don't think of it. who would see Yitzchak as a happy person? Yitzchak was the happiest person in the world. They called him Yitzchak because I described his personality. He was always happy and always smiling. And he went on the altar. His father put him on the altar. It wasn't considered a test for him. He was happy. Right, happy on the altar. The Midrash says, tie me up, daddy. I don't want to move. I don't want to ruin the korban. Right, I don't want to ruin the korban. Do it properly. Don't waste me. I want to be. Do the proper job. Who's going to say that? He's happy to go. Can imagine, you see the pictures of this little kid going. He was 37 years old. Daddy, where are you taking me? Don't worry. Thank you. Don't worry. I'm looking after you. Okay, daddy, why are you tying me up? It's not a little kid. He knows exactly what's going on. He's happy. It's Yitzchak. Why is he happy? He's serving Hashem. Happy to serve Hashem. Why? He loves Hashem. So that's tremendous joy. So more than Abraham. Abraham was tzaddik. But Abraham had, that was his test. Yitzhak didn't have a test. It was, for him, it was like a natural thing. He gave his life for God, happiness. How many Jews gave their lives for God with joy? You see, you hear the songs of the Hasidim. They were dancing and singing before they go into the gas chamber. They're dancing and they're singing. What are they singing? Remember what they sang? Ashreinu matov alkenu. Ashreinu, praise their us and happy is our lot. What kind of joy. They're going to meet their Creator. We know this. That was the Lubavitch Rebbe. They put the gun to his head, the communists. Said, you're not allowed to teach Torah, otherwise we'll shoot you. And they said, the guy's not scared. You put a gun to someone's head, you know, just feeling that cold barrel against your temple. The guy starts trembling. He's not scared at all. He said, why aren't you scared? He said, you have one bullet and I have two worlds. I have two lives. You only have one bullet, I have two lives. You can kill me over here, you can't kill me there. Amazing. Well, I mean, we have to know that it's inevitable. I mean, it should be a long time, but it's inevitable. Everyone does. Only two things which are inevitable as well, death and taxes. So they say. Inevitable. So, a person should love Hashem and be happy to do His will. We're so lucky. We really are lucky. We're really lucky. Hashem gave us so many opportunities for growth. Hashem gave us so many opportunities to get close to Him. Hashem gave us many opportunities to earn reward. Get schar. All these are opportunities. Every mitzvah is an opportunity. But you shouldn't say a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. It's an opportunity. Look at it as an opportunity. Someone throws you an opportunity to win a lottery. You win the lottery. Every mitzvah person wins the lottery. You don't realize it. And if you do it with joy, it's 1,000 times as much mitzvah. 1,000 times as much mitzvah. And that's what we see from Tehillim. David HaMelech says, if do it Hashem b'simcha, serve God with joy, which became a song. Go lefana b'nana, and come before Him with song. David HaMelech, when you think singing songs, you're singing songs. There's a midrash that says about the Arizal that he, once was it Shavuot, I think he called up different aliyot. First aliyah, Aaron HaKohen. Second aliyah, Moshe Rabbeinu. Kohen Levi. And then Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov. I don't know how he called that father and son. There's no Ayin Hara. And then David HaMelech. And David HaMelech, he was dancing. He was dancing. Jumping and dancing. Said his wife rebuked him. Michal. She rebuked him. She said, David, you're dancing. All the women are looking at you. You're dancing like a tramp. Like one of these people on the street dancing around. He said, listen, he said, that's the difference between your father's house and me. Your father is very particular about his honor. Hashem didn't want him. I am serving Hashem. I don't care about my honor. When I serve Hashem, I don't care about my honor. Very rough, very rough. And David HaMelech, so he was a joyous person. He was dancing out of joy of serving Hashem. Imagine the Kohanim and the Beit HaMikdash were the happiest people in the world. If you saw the face of the Kohen Gadol, you'd be... Just seeing his face. It says, Rabbi Victor Miller would practice for hours in front of a mirror. His smile. Because it says, a person should always greet someone with a Heve Mikabel Kol Adam Seve Panim Yafot. Shammai of all people says that. Greet everyone with a good countenance. And it says, Velovin Shinai Mechalav, the Gemara says, Velovin Shinai Mechalav, Yehuda was blessed by Yaakov Avinu, your teeth should be whiter than milk. The Gemara says, better is a smile and show your teeth more than a glass of milk. You're a guest. You frown and give a glass of milk, it's worth zero. If you're shining your teeth without a glass of milk, it's worth more. The main thing is the greeting. Smile at people. greet people with a seven panim yafot. It's very, very easy to say and hard to do, but a person's going to be happy doing a mitzvah. So you have a guest, mitzvah. You have people come to collect money. It's so hard to smile. Again? Okay, the first one, smile. Give them a big check. Second one, a bit smaller. The third one, a bit smaller. By the time you get to the fourth, fifth, I'm drained. I don't know about you, I'm drained. It's very hard. I force myself. You force yourself to smile because in the end, you're serving Hashem. So it's not them, it's not you. It's service of Hashem. Person's going to serve Hashem. So it's service of Hashem. It's an opportunity. What does David HaMelech say? V'chesed yirfuni kol yemei chayai. Achtov v'chesed yirfuni kol yemei chayai. May goodness and kindness chase me all the days of your life. All the days of my life. May goodness and kindness chase me all the days of my life. What does that mean? Opportunities for goodness, opportunities of kindness should chase me all my life. I want to be chased by goodness and kindness, not by the IRS, not by the Yimach Shemam, the Arrow, whatever. This is another. I want to be chased by goodness and kindness. So you can be chased by people who want favors and that's chase for good things. Chase for good things. So these are powerful ideas, the idea of focusing on God, serving God with thoughts, tvekut, which is clinging. And the happier a person is, the more they appreciate God. They're doing God's service with joy, they walk into shul with joy. They're getting to shul early because they're joy, they can't wait to come to shul. We had a guy, who's a big tzaddik. He's an old Israeli man. He was he fought for Sharon in the 56 and 67, and tough, he was very tough. He used to be sitting outside here at 6 o'clock in the morning. Door's locked. He's waiting for people to come and open the door. Can't wait to get into the shul. Sit outside. Halavai, we all sit outside the shul waiting to get in. Now, Halavai, can you imagine? When Mashiach comes, everyone's going to be waiting. There'll be a line outside waiting to get into shul. We should be like those who, you know, in the old times when people on the new iPad came out. The lines outside, sleeping outside, 3 days of lines waiting. Not anymore. No. But they don't like the new invention, the new gadgets are worthless. The other ones were advanced. They could have come out with something. The latest phones are a big disaster. Small, tiny. No one wants them. There's no lines anymore. But they used to wait 3 days in lines outside. They're waiting to be the first one to get their hands on this new gadget. Can you imagine? Why halavai people wait outside the shul 3 days line? Can you imagine 3 day line to get in the shul? Think about it. Where? Halavai.
Camping out.
Beit HaMikdash. It would happen 3 times a year. All the Jews would go to the temple. Can you imagine the lines and lines? How they get it? How they do it? It's a miracle. I don't know how they did. How they do Korban Pesach, I don't know. Because you don't realize the Azara, the courtyard of the temple, was tiny. The men's courtyard is tiny. The women's courtyard was very big. But you have to go to the men's courtyard. You can't slaughter outside.
We got some practice going to Meron on Lag BaOmer.
Meron, oh God, no, I don't like going to Meron on Lag BaOmer. It's packed crowds. And then you get in and it's the tiny little room, the Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's kever. And it's packed like sardines. And you push again. And it's hot because of all the candles. It's massive. Oof. Very dangerous. So, I've been there once and I'm going to go there. I go in off season. I go off season. They go peak season, I go off season. I like going off season. Same cemetery. If you go on the Arizal's Yard site, the fifth of Av, forget it. Packed, like mobbed. Mob scene. It's Fat Cemetery, mob scene. So you go 2 days before. I was trying to go off season, off peak. It's very dangerous as well, packed. Okay. And I got to that. But the main thing is to go with joy. That's the main thing. Go do mitzvah with joy. It's worth 1,000 times more. A person has children. Don't forget, it's a tremendous mitzvah to raise children. It's the biggest chesed you can do. Change a diaper. How do you change a diaper with? Hey. Huh?
He's smiling.
Oh, he's the guy, they change diapers, huh? They change diapers with joy because it's Tzaddik, a little Tzaddik. A little baby Tzaddik. The world rests on Hevel Piyam Shel Tinokot Shebet Rabban. The world rests on the pure voices of the children of in the rabbi's house. Because they're unsullied by sin. Little babies don't do anything. It's So when they pray, it's pure. It goes straight up to heaven. When they learn to write, it goes straight up. So I was going to say, I'm doing chesed to this little kid. He's a tzaddik. Didn't do anything. All right. So that is true joy. True joy is serving Hashem. We really have to sing this song every day. Ashreinu matov kenu, praise that we happy is our Lord. We're so lucky. We have a Torah. We're so lucky. We have guidance. We have morality. Kedusha. There's no such thing. There's no such thing as Kedusha in this world apart from Jews. There's no concept of holiness. No one talks about holiness. Kedusha and Tara. Tara no one talks about at all. It was purity. Ritual purity was purity. It's interesting. The first thing you teach a child, says, Rashi says, on Vayikra, has a small aleph. You teach a child Sefer Vayikra. What? How can you teach a child Vayikra? It's all about Korbanot. Yavo Kedoshim Yomadu Kedoshim. The holy ones should learn holy things. Teach them about holiness. You teach a child from holiness from a very early age. Say Lo Kadosh. It's allowed, but it's Lo Kadosh. There's a lot of things allowed which are not Kadosh. The Ramban says, like bad speech. How do you teach a child not to say, use bad words? You go to school, you come back with four-letter words. It's horrible. You listen to a little bit of TV or radio, or you go on New Jersey Transit. A torture for me. I'm just sitting over there. You've got to put away these noise-canceling headphones. Because you hear the guy talking on his phone, every other word is a four-letter word. It's like crazy. Even a natural sentence. They can't make a sentence without a four-letter word. How do you do it? It's sick. That's the opposite of Kedusha. Kedusha is how you speak, what words you use. The biggest four-letter word I can use is work. Going to work, that's a four-letter word. That's the curse of Adam. Curse of Adam, it's a four-letter word. So a person's heart should be joyous that they're able to serve Hashem, who is the highest level. Can you imagine Hashem? You can't even imagine how. He's the master of the world. You're serving the master of the world. Can you imagine the serving the master of the world? The person says, you know, what's your title? What's your job description? I am a minister to the King of Kings. Psh, that's a very high level. He's serving the world. Master of the world. Universe. Master of the universe. We're so lucky. We can serve the master of the universe. We can be in his service. You know, like James Bond, right? On a Majesty's service. You know, on every mail, you can't beat this, the British, you can't beat it, because every mailbox it says, by appointment, the Royal Mail. It's called Royal Mail. Okay, so now today means nothing, but it's royal, the royalty, it's the Royal Mail. See, we're royal, we're royalty. You know, every Jew had to wear a purple thread. Tchelet. It was a symbol of royalty. We don't realize, we don't have to. Some do. We don't know if it's the right one or not. But the truth is that it's royalty. It's royal. We have to know that. So when the Romans came along, they banned us. The Jews are royalty. They're not allowed to wear it. Who do they think they are? We don't realize. The blue is royal blue. The Tehillah is royal blue. It's a sign of royalty. You have to realize that. We're royalty. Why are we royalty? We're serving the king. We're in the king's service. On his majesty's service. We are on his truly on his majesty's service. Chabad invented, the Rebbe invented, Tzvaot Hashem. We're in the army of God. This is the army of God. We're in the army of God. Each one of us has a purpose. We're doing the right thing. We're serving Hashem. You know, I was sitting at a wedding next to the Rosh Yeshiva of Ner Yisrael, of Aaron Feldman. I was sitting next to him. And, you know, everyone stands up when the bride walks in, when the groom walks in. He said to me, you know what the Mikor is? They're standing up. He said, Mishnah. The Mishnah talks about Bikurim. The Mishnah says, when people pass by bringing their bikurim, everyone stands up for them because they're involved in a mitzvah. If you're a shaliach mitzvah, everyone has to give you kavod. It's very hard. We don't see this today. But in the wedding, we see it. Why do people stand up for the bride and they stand up for the groom? Because they're busy doing a mitzvah. They're going to do a mitzvah. Big mitzvah. Pruvu. Big mitzvah. So it's like bikurim in a sense. When people bring the bikurim, everyone has to stand up for them. They're involved in the mitzvah.
That's why we stand up.
Baruch David. Baruch David Hashem. There's other reasons, but okay. Go ahead.
Why we stand for Vayikra?
So he says, because you're going to give tzedakah. So, like, you're involved in a mitzvah, you stand up, whatever. There's other reasons. But it's when you see someone doing a mitzvah, you should stand. When the baby comes in for a brit milah, please rise. Why is the rising for the baby? He didn't do anything. The baby's involved in a mitzvah. It's a chefetz shel mitzvah. The baby becomes an object of a mitzvah. The chud of the baby. Boy, all of us, all men have been through this. Chefetz of mitzvah. It's attached to our flesh. It says David HaMelech was once in the bathhouse. And he's saying, what mitzvah am I doing? So he remembered he has a brit milah, thank God, Baruch Hashem. So it seems like every second you have brit milah, covered by a mitzvah. It's very hard. You have an ot, you have a sign of the covenant on the person in the flesh. So the question is, what about woman? What mitzvah is she doing? And the answer is like Hillel. Hillel tells his students, I'm going to do a mitzvah. So what mitzvah are you going to do? I'm going to take a bath. So what mitzvah is that? I'm cleaning the image of God. I'm washing the image of God. Imagine you go to Madame Tussauds, right? And you see all the images of all the kings and queens, whatever it is. They hire a person to wipe their face every day. Imagine the image of the president of so-and-so, and he's got dust on his face. Doesn't look good. He says, same thing. I'm cleaning the image of Hashem. We are the image of Hashem. We're creating the image of God. But don't take it literally, but it's still. We have holiness to us. We are creating God's image. So every time you take a shower, you wash your face. But you got to think, I'm doing a mitzvah. I'm cleaning the face. Hashem gave me this face. So everyone does a mitzvah by taking a shower. Plus Rambam says, you can't pray without being clean. I wasn't praying. So at least we wash our hands, but even if the other parts of the body are filthy, I can even pray. You can't wear tefillin. A man can't wear tefillin if he's dirty. Some people say you shouldn't give tefillin to everyone. You got to know if he's clean or not. You can't just put a tefillin on him. Because you've got to be careful. Go to the bathroom, you have to clean yourself. Here's the doctor, he'll tell you how to clean yourself properly. It's very hard to say. Toilet paper is not enough by itself. So it's important to know all these small little points and be happy with a person serving Hashem. It's very, very important. And it's such a high level. When a person reaches a level where they're happy doing a mitzvah, spiritual person. A person knows how spiritual they are by how happy they are. The person's depressed because I got to do this mitzvah. Pesach is the hardest time. I don't have to tell you. I was telling my wife yesterday. She said, no, you do it with happiness, she told me. And she's doing all the work, boy. I'm just watching it. I say, I get tired just watching it. No, I'm happy doing it. Oh, beautiful. That's a high level. That's a very high level. Most women say, I can't wait till I go to the hotel. Jewish women today. They're leaving Erev Pesach for the hotel. Now I'm going to be happy. On the plane, I'm going to be happy. No, I'm happy cleaning. I'm happy preparing for Pesach. That's the joy of Pesach. That's the joy of the mitzvah. The Arizal says, all the sweat. When you sweat, looking for the hametz. Can you imagine how much sweat the guy would look for a hametz? Use that sweat to wipe your forehead. You're going to erase all your sins. That sweat erases the sins. Rub it against your forehead. Every time a person cries, for the right reasons, use that tears to wipe your forehead. Because the things are written over here. Whether the person's going to live or die, the expiration date is up there. All one's sins are written over here. If you have Chokhmah HaParatzuf, you'll be able to see it. You have the wisdom to be able to read people's faces, you could see it.
Is there anyone alive today who could do that?
I'm sure. It's not such a hard thing.
I'm reading that you're looking very surprised.
What gave it away?
Obviously, Darizal says one day one of his students walked in. He said, you're involved in robbery. I said, what robbery? I didn't do anything.
Robbing people.
He said, You didn't pay one of your workers properly. So the guy goes to his office, puts money on the table. He says, if anyone thinks I didn't pay them properly, please come and help yourself. So this is one woman came and she took a small coin and she walked away. That was the extent of his robbery. Small coin. But the Arizal could see it on his face, on his forehead.
Yeah, the Arizal,
I know. You're right.
Like Rav
Mordechai Sharabi, I'm sure Rav Kanievsky, the Steipler, could see it.
Rav Steipler?
The Steipler, I said.
Oh, the Steipler.
For sure, no question about it. I know, I went to him, I know. He just looks at you and he's oh, yeah.
But today, is there anyone?
I don't know. I'm saying it's not, I'm sure the Mekbolim will know it. They don't show it. They may give musar, they may tell, but they don't go directly and say, I saw on your face you did this. You see, everyone has something today. Just people won't come to them. Imagine every time you go to the guy, that's going to say Mashiach will be able to do that. Person's going to be scared. People think, you know, people are going to line up to see Mashiach. People are going to go like this to the Mashiach, the backwards. Cover their face and go to the Mashiach. Moshe Rabbein, same thing. You can see straight away. Elisha, right? Gehazi! Where have you been, Gehazi? Say, what do you mean? Say, oh, I just had some business take care of. Whatever he had, you will have, Gehazi. Remember the story of Naaman came from all the way from Syria to be cured of leprosy. And he brought trucks full of, wagons full of gold and silver. And Elisha says, go dip in the River Jordan 7 times, you're going to be cured. And he didn't want to go because the River Jordan is such a small, tiny river. He has better rivers over there. And he went and he got cured. He comes back to Elisha. He says, I'm going to give you all these gold and silver I prepared for you. He says, no, Isis, I didn't cure you. God cured you. Traduch. So Kiddush Hashem. The prophet would not take money. He was a prophet with a PH, not a prophet with an F. He was a non-for-profit. The prophet was not for profit. He was a prophet, not for profit. He was a prophet, not for profit. He was a prophet, not for profit. But his servant Gehazi went and he ran after Naaman. He said, my master changed his mind. He wants all the gold and silver. Oh boy. And he pretends he didn't do anything. He went, took the gold and silver, put it away. He comes back to Elisha. As if nothing happened, Elisha says, what do you mean, Gehazi? What do you mean? I didn't go anywhere. Nothing. Whatever he had, you had. The leprosy will come to you. This week's parasha. This week's Haftarah, but it's not, because it's, you know, Shabbat HaGadol. We have a special Haftarah, but otherwise it's the Haftarah for Metzorah. The Haftarah for Metzorah is the 4 lepers, Gehazi and his 3 sons. 4 lepers, terrible. And then it says, Elisha ran after Gehazi to make him do teshuvah, and he refused. Elisha was scared, you know, he pushed him away too much. He cursed him out to the point where Gehazi's not going to do teshuvah. So you see there's a ground you shouldn't, you know, even if you want to, you shouldn't curse someone out to the point where they don't do teshuvah. That's going too far already. That's like Yeshua ben Parachia with JC, whatever. You don't push them out to the point. And it says, Rabbi Yeshua ben Parachia, JC came to Rabbi Yeshua ben Parachia to apologize. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Parachia was reading the Shema, and JC told him, da 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 da, and he made a hand signal and really said, wait, I'll accept you back. And JC took it as if he's not going to accept him back and ran away. That was the last he gave. Tragic, tragic. I was going to be careful. So even though you can read the guy's head, doesn't mean you have to curse him out and until he doesn't do teshuvah. You read a guy's head, you have to bring him back and make him do teshuvah. That's the wisdom. Okay, how do we get to that? I don't know, but we're talking about serving Hashem with joy, which is a sign of love. When you love someone and they ask you, honey, can you do this for me? Of course I'll do it for you. What a question. Of course I'll do it for you. When you go to pray, be happy. You're praying to God. There's nothing like God. You can imagine you have an appointment with God. Person has an appointment. We have appointments with Hashem. We don't take it for granted. It's not easy to get an appointment with Hashem. And Hashem is so gracious. You fix times, pray. Amazing, amazing, amazing. We're so lucky. You have to jump with joy. We can talk to the master of the universe with all your troubles, all your problems. Who has the opportunity? Amazing. We're so gifted. We're so lucky. Ki zot hi ha-simcha ha-bitit shel libo shel adam alez. You know, there's a girl's name called Aliza. Aliza is one of the alez, which is joy. Ad shu zoche la-avo levnei Adoni barach shein kamo. We have the opportunity to serve God. We have the opportunity to learn Torah. We're so happy. We're so lucky. Which is the true completion and the most precious everlasting thing we could do. And the most precious everlasting thing. I wish we could see our reward in the next world. Just a little glimpse. We'd realize how lucky we are. Every time we do a mitzvah, every time we say Amen, every time we say a bracha. Tremendous reward. Tremendous. And Shlomo Melech says in Shir HaShirim, Mashcheni acharecha narutza, draw me and I'll run after you. Neviyana Melech Adarav, the king brought me into his room. Nagila v'lispecha bach, I'll be happy with you. It was the king is drawing us closer to his room. This is his room. We're in God's living room right now. So happy to be in God's living room. Wow. How people get access to the king. We have access to Hashem. Kol mi shezocher Likanes yoter lefnim b'chadrei yediyot. Yediyat gedulato yibarach. Whoever gets closer, look at this. Look at the language, a beautiful language over here. Person gets closer into the room of knowledge of God. Yoter tigdal bo asimcha. Gets more rejoicing. The happier they are to get close to Hashem, the happier they get. It's a cycle. You're happy, you get close. Hashem says, I'll make you happier. Come closer, be the happiest person. Yes, libo saspekibo. A person will be happy to the closeness with God. For Mary, Yismach Yisrael be'osah, b'netz yoni give him welcome. Be joy, Israel, for serving Hashem. B'nei Tzion, the sons of Zion, should rejoice in the king. So we're coming to really service of God in Pesach. Really, Pesach is really, it's real service of Hashem. The Seder. Are you happy staying up in the Seder? Are you happy doing the Haggadah? Oh, it's a drag. Or it's all. That's how a person knows how spiritual they are. Happy they are. The more spiritual they are. So a person can measure their spirituality. By their joy. The more happy they are for doing mitzvot. If they're doing it like a burden, it's a low level spirituality. And you can tell. People come with eagerness, with zizug, running to shul, they come early, they come on time. It makes a big difference in the person's service of God. It makes a big difference. David shekvar hagi al ma'ala hazot, shiur gadol. David HaMelech got to this level. Amar yerav alav sichi. Anochi esmach v'ashem. Yerav, harevna. Yerav alav sichi. It's pleasant for him, my speech. It's pleasant. Hashem finds my speech pleasant. Anochi esmach v'ashem. I'm happy with Hashem. Hashem desires my speech. I'm happy with Hashem. So he talks about simcha all the time. Kikocha haitam yikaber bekibbo ha-simcha. David HaMelech was one of the happiest people ever in the world. Shekvar ha-sfataim hayu b'nano me'elehim. His lips were moving by themselves and praising God all the time. Chol zem igod idlahavut, idlahatut, not sure, because his heart was on fire, his soul was on fire with the rejoicing of God. So it's very important to get to that level. Oh boy, how do I get to that level of rejoicing? Sometimes we can. It's going to feel good about doing a mitzvah. You feel good inside, you feel happy inside. People don't realize that. People are depressed because they don't realize the value of doing good. It says one of the guarantees of long life. It says today, the doctors say, people who volunteer. The retirees especially, they have nothing to do. If they volunteer for others, they live longer. And they're happier, they feel good, they feel purpose. They have purpose in life. And one of the curses of the Torah is because a person did not serve God with joy. Parsha Ki Tavo. Tachad asher lo avad Hashem Elokecha b'simcha v'tu levav. The person didn't serve because he didn't serve God with joy and with a good heart. He's going to serve God with joy and a good heart. Now, we have to realize we're Jews, so the service of God is in every area of life. Person serves God in every area of life. Person's going to be happy earning a living which is honest, serving God. Happy, supporting their children, sending them to yeshiva. Then. Going to be happy paying the yeshiva tuition. So happy people can be happy by signing a big check of yeshiva tuition. It's very hard. Person's going to be happy. Why? Because they're doing a mitzvah with their money. Person's going to do it with joy. You're happy with all the Pesach expenses. Happy. All of a sudden you get tremendous expenses of Pesach, all holidays. So that's why it says on the holidays, Vayitach Sameach, you have to be happy. Benish Chai says, why? Because people are happy. Number one, they can't go to work. No money coming in. Number two, all the hotzaot, all the expenses. That's why the Torah says, on the festivals especially be happy. Because that's when the Yetzirah says, who's going to pay for all this? Where are you going to get all this money from? You're not working. So people have this idea, they're worried more on the festival. That's when the Torah says, be happy. That's the test. Especially, you know, today we're lucky, we get vacations, we have vacation time, we can take it off. In those days, people never got vacation times. You take off, you're at your peril. When the Jews first came to America, every Friday they would get laid off. Every Friday. Shabbat, we don't give Shabbat, you have to come here. Sorry, okay, bye, don't come back Monday. That was the end of that. And a person's going to be happy doing that, can you imagine? Hard to do that. Imagine Yosef in jail. That really gets me. Yosef in jail. Why is Yosef in jail? He wouldn't be immoral. So now, can you imagine? A person says, you know, I wouldn't be immoral. I served Hashem. And look what I got for it. I'm in jail. I'm in the low life. I'm in jail in the low life. I'm in the disgusting jail. Every time he should be kicking himself. I should have done it. No. So happy. I succeeded. Baruch Hashem. I kept that mitzvah. That happiness kept him going. The happiness. I did the mitzvah. I'm happy to do the mitzvah. I'm happy to suffer what I did. Because I did the right thing. And it's so hard to get to that level. So can you imagine? A person does a mitzvah. They didn't do it with joy. They didn't do it with a good heart. Hashem punished them. Because he didn't do it properly. Wow. It's very harsh. Very harsh reality. Very harsh reality. It's very hard. So a person's got to try and do when they do a mitzvah. Try and do it with a good heart. Try and do it with happiness, with joy. If you're giving, give with a good heart. Give with joy. If you're doing mitzvah, do it with joy. Do it. It's so hard to get to that level. And that was Yitzhak Avinu. Talked about how he's going to his own akedah with joy. To his own akedah with joy. So now, building the Beit HaMikdash. Look at the Mishkan. Building the Mishkan. No problem. All of a sudden, he asks for a donation. The donations are pouring in. The Jews are pouring in the donations for building Mishkan. Amazing, amazing. Miracle. Had a guy here. He has an organization, Masorah, New Jersey, Rabbi Lewis. And he had a big fundraiser. Amazing. 24 hours. Jews are amazing. Jews are amazing people. Amazing people. And that's the greatness of a Jew. Give. Give. Give with joy. You're happy to give. That's a pellet line. It's amazing. It's a great midah. Person's gonna have that midah of joy. Doing mitzvah with joy. So you do the mitzvah anyway. Do it with joy. Add a little bit of spice. It's like bland food. There was a restaurant in London I went to. Bloom's. It's called Bloom's. You heard of Bloom's? Very famous kosher restaurant in London. I went there once and I never go back again, and sure enough it closed down. It was there 50 years, 60 years.
And it was famous. Why?
It was famous for its meat selection and chicken, but eventually what happened was people started flavoring other kinds. The Sephardi moved in, they opened restaurants. Once you get the flavor, all the spices, you eat the bland meat. It's like, the chicken has nothing in the chicken. Just chicken. I can eat chicken, just no spices. People stopped going there, closed down. You need spice. Same thing, a mitzvah needs spice. A person has to educate their children with spice, otherwise the children don't get educated. Very simple. If the teacher comes in bland, and just do this, do this, people, the kids don't like it. Same thing at home. You're going to make kiddush, you're going to sing. If you don't sing, kids don't like it. If you don't entertain, you don't tell stories, they don't like it. Got to spice it up. You got to spice up the service of Hashem. Not bland. A person's going to do it with their heart a little bit. It's called hitlahavut, from the word lahav. What's a lahav? A flame. A passion. What's going to do with passion? It's so hard to do mitzvah with passion. It was called machzid shekel. Hashem showed him the shekel. How? Hashem showed Moshe the shekel. Hashem didn't know. He didn't know what the shekel looked like. What did he show him? A shekel of fire. When they give shekel, they're going to do it with fire. They're going to do it with passion. That's a fire. If there's no fire, it's not half a shekel. It's a dead coin. Imagine two people give, one person gives with another person gives with a heart. Give part of your heart with a coin. That's a high level. I'm telling you, these are high levels. This chapter is chapter 19. We have to go through 18 to get to 19. This is the 19th rung of the ladder. This is a very high level of love of God. So love of God includes all these things. Very good. Clinging to God. Cheshek, desire for God. And simcha, and joy. Rejoicing in service of God. So you go to the army and the guy's a conscript. I want to be in the army. And the other guy says, I'm happy. I want to be in the army. I want to fight. You see in Israel, in the highest motivations today are in the Hester units. They want to be in the front lines. They want to fight. Because they know what they're fighting for. They're fighting for Am Yisrael. They're fighting for Hashem. Amazing. And the Rambam says that's the secret of long life in the army. Forgetting about everything else. Just focusing on the war. Forgetting about one's wife, one's family, one's children. Focusing totally on them. Total immersion. You see it. All these heroes who went through all these wars untouched. Why? Because they gave their all. You have to give your all for Klal Yisrael. If you don't give your all, you're a murderer. How can you be a murderer? I'm fighting for them. No, you're not fighting for them properly. Maybe you lose. If you lose, you're a murderer because you caused all the deaths. You didn't fight with all your heart. It's so hard. Plus, not allowed to think about the things in the war. Not to think of their wife, their mother, their father, family. Once they do, they're lost. They're finished. They're dead. And that's what happens. A person who's totally immersed in the war, it's how to win. How do I win? What do I do to win? What do I do to win? All the time, thinking about what I do, all the strategy. But again, all these things are very high level. So same thing when doing mitzvah, a person thinking about the mitzvah. All do think about the mitzvah. The third thing is zealous. Ah, that's a hard one. I'm not the guy to talk about it. I'm not such a zealous guy. Allah Hashem is missing. It's hard to be zealous because you go mad. Not only will you go mad, you'll drive everyone else mad. So it's got to be zealous in a nice way. You got to frame it a nice way. Because the mission is to bring people back, especially today. Today people are not, they're not breaking God's law because they want to break God's law. They want to spite God. They're not. There's no pesha today. Maybe there are a few people at one time. Pesha means I'm disobeying God's order because I want to spite God. I want to teach God a lesson. Hasb shalom, I want to teach God a lesson. Most people saying today, it's called avon. Avon is for sake of pleasure. So there's no, you don't have to be zealous to bring them back. Just be nice to bring them back. So the zealousness should be in a nice way. It's not like Zimri goes in the middle of the camp and he takes this Midianite woman and he's sitting in front of everybody. Mamzer, what an idiot. He's mad. In front of everyone, he's, Moshe Rabbeinu is watching. He's a Meshuggah. You don't do these things.
Didn't they go into a tent?
That's Pesha. Still, he took in public and he went into the tent. Everyone knows what he's doing in the tent. It's like Yichud. What do you think people do Yichud? The witness is not inside the room. They see them going in, they want them. What are you doing? Going, don't you not have to go together? It's a sota, same thing. You don't see in an act. So, the person's going to be zealous. Let's talk a bit about it. Sheha adam itkaneh l'shem kodesh. Person's going to be zealous about God's name. So today, we don't have this in such a big level, high level, in terms of hating people because they hate God. No one hates God today. I don't know. I never come across a single person who hates God. Never come across. People don't like religion. They don't like the people. They don't like the religious people. Doesn't mean they hate God. They love God. No. They just don't like the way people are serving God. They don't like those who represent God today. So we have to be more user-friendly. We have to be able to make out of them. We have to... I was sitting next to someone in the plane. I was on my way from London to Israel. And I ordered kosher, and obviously they didn't. So look at me. Look at the food. Number one is, they're looking to see how I'm behaving with them. Am I nasty to them, or mean to them, or what? So you're pleasant to them. Hi, how are you doing? How's everything? You start getting a conversation. And then they say, wow, I wish I ordered kosher food. I say, yeah, you should. It's great, look at it. They're telling you, I wish I ordered kosher food. I say, fantastic. Next time, order kosher. Yeah, next time I will. So good, and I get served first, and we have to wait another 15 minutes, 20 minutes for the... Yeah, you should. That's the way to... That's zealous for God. That's today's zealousness.
Although, should they be ordering kosher so that they get served first? Or should they...
Doesn't
order
matter. Mitoch shelo lishma, balishma.
Especially because
you're... Because the biggest problem is timtum alev. People don't realize. You eat not kosher, it defiles a person from inside. The Torah says explicitly. What does it say? But it metem bam, it will defile you. It's tamer, it's going to make you defile. But kadishtem, ki ani Hashem lekechem, right? Ki kadosh ani Hashem. Make sanctify yourself because I'm holy, Hashem says. Don't defile yourself by eating this. All the sherets and all the... It defiles a person from inside. That's the trouble with non-kosher. People don't realize. When Jews stop keeping kosher, that's when all the assimilation, all the balagan came. It's a shame, because the Jews still have some purity inside. But they get sugar by eating the treif. People think, you know, I can eat whatever I want, I'll still remain solid. No way! Torah says impossible. You can't do that. The food has a reaction in a person. We know that today in medicine. It's, you know what you eat. If you eat the wrong foods, higher cholesterol goes up, the sugar goes up, but we don't know what happens spiritually, we don't know what happens. That's the trouble, we can't measure it. But we can, look around you. See a guy, what's he doing? He's doing something wrong. Say, what did you have for breakfast today? What have you been eating for the last 20 years?
Does it have a cumulative effect?
Of course, 100%, no question. Moshe Rabbeinu would not drink milk from another woman. And the Ramah brings it down. Don't give your baby to be suckled by a car. Today it's worse. You have formula from a cow. I don't know what's better. Halacha doesn't talk about it. I don't know. It's a cow's milk as opposed to, you know, it's not your kosher milk. It's not kosher from a kosher... I'm saying it's higher level to get your mother's... That's what the Mekubalim say. The spiritual level of a person depends on his mother. How she weaned him. If you give him, you know, it's very important. Spiritually. It's tremendously important.
Doesn't the Mishnah say that it's permissible for a non-Jewish woman to nurse a Jewish baby, but it's not permissible for a Jewish woman to nurse a non-Jewish baby?
I don't remember. I know. Even though it's permissible, it's not good, the Ramah says. It's Timtum Alev. The proof is Moshe Rabbeinu. The truth is, in those days, it's Pekuah Nefesh. They never had formulas. Pekuah Nefesh. The mother doesn't have milk, and she's got to get someone to feed the baby. Oh, it's 9 o'clock. Okay, we're going to stop soon. Okay, so let's just finish off this idea. We're going to talk about this next week when we come back. Are you coming back next week? Yes, next week. We're coming back. We're talking about zealousness of Hashem. Baruch Adonai Leolam. Amen ve'amen. We have Rabbi Hananiah ben Akasha Amir Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu Lezakor Yisrael V'yantra Al-Zvot Shneemar Adonai Chafetz Lema Tzikoy Yagdil Terav Yadir.